Thanks for joining me on today's Family Experience, helping families connect in a world that's pulling families apart. I'm really excited about this episode because I get the chance to interview a person that's really made a difference in my marriage, as well as a huge impact in the way I parent my children. My name is Chuck Hagley. I lead the team here at Project Patch, which includes our family experience and as well as the seminars we do as today's Family Experience. As I lead these seminars and I worked with the team to come up with a curriculum for the family experience, I read a lot of books. I searched for ways to capture the craziness that happens in our families and relationships. I searched for tools and concepts that were practical, easy to understand, and that most importantly worked because they were biblical. The work that Dr. Emerson Eggerich has done with families and couples was exactly what we were looking for. Not only did it work, not only was it biblical, it was something that could be shared and quickly illustrated and captured by adults and kids in a way that really changed both of them. So I'm really excited to share the interview that I had with him. It was an awesome time for me just because I have learned so much from hearing him speak as well as reading his books. And so it was fantastic to have this time together talking, and I think you'll enjoy it. Let me introduce you to Dr. Emerson Eggerich in case you aren't familiar with him. He's an internationally known speaker on the topic of male-female relationships and family dynamics that's based on decades of counseling as well as scientific and biblical research. Emerson developed the Love and Respect conferences, which he presents to live audiences around the country. This dynamic and life-changing conference is impacting the world, resulting in the healing and restoration of countless relationships. Dr. Eggerich has authored several books, including the national bestseller Love and Respect, and most recently the book Love and Respect in the Family, which is what we're spending our time talking about today. One of the many things that I respect about Dr. Eggerich is that he asked and received the full support of his grown children before releasing this book, and you'll hear more about that in the interview. This book isn't theory. It's things that he's used with his own family, in his church, and in his ministry, and shared with thousands of couples and families, and I'm glad to be able to bring it to you. You spoke at the American Association of Christian Counselor meetings, and what struck me as I listened to you is from the very start, I knew it was a big deal for my marriage. My wife and I had been married for quite a few years at that time, but I recognized that there was things that you were speaking of that could change everything. But then the other thing that really surprised me and I wasn't expecting was that you shared a vulnerability, a transparency. You went in a personal side that I don't think too many people do that are being these parent or marriage experts. You shared how God transformed you. As we get started, I was just curious, why do you start with your heart before your advice?
Well, I think to the point you make, I think that everyone has a struggle. Everyone feels inadequate at some level, and people who don't probably is self-delusional. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is a need to know that we're for real, that we have issues ourselves, and I think this gives hope to people. And I think having come out of a family of origin that obviously had some serious issues, my dad's rage, his attempt to strangle my mother to death, me witnessing that when I was 2.5, although he had no intentions of killing her, I certainly didn't know that, and I'm not sure Mom knew that. And then later discovering he committed adultery when I was 11 years of age. Mom and Dad divorced each other when I was 1. They reconciled, remarried, but then Mom separated for 5 years because Dad had those rage issues. But then they came back together, and we were not Christ followers. We did not know the Lord. Although my dad had a background, he never gave voice to any knowledge of Christ, never talked to me about Christ, though he was very aware of it because he was raised in a very godly home, though he lost his dad. But he never expressed that, and he and I later addressed that. But at age 16 in military school, I heard the message of Christ through a Billy Graham film, and I was sent to military school from 8th grade to 12th grade because of the family issues. But my life really turned around a little bit, and then I went to Wheaton College because Billy Graham had gone there. And then my freshman year, my mom came to Christ, my dad came to Christ, my sister came to Christ, and my brother-in-law, who is a professor, came to Christ. My whole family came to the Lord. And so, but the history of those issues, you know, explains, you know, in part why I am doing what I'm doing, why I am who I am. and that whole idea of the wounds eventually turning me into the wounded healer. And I think that gives hope to people, particularly at the AACC. You know, there were, 6,000 people, and that, you know, they are individuals who are ministering to others most often because they themselves have a history of you know, suffering. And that's what has made them empathetic. That's what enables them to care. And so that's partly why I did that. I also waited on some of those stories until my mom and dad were in heaven. I didn't feel the freedom to ever address that. Mm-hmm. And but then once they were off, you know, the scene, so to speak, I felt the liberty to give voice to these things.
And I think what I found so powerful is this idea that so many of us, you know, come to Christ, and then the process of being redeemed, the process of His perfection and taking over our lives, is something that we're kind of blind to. We expect major changes, but how do we go about getting Scripture into our lives? And so many times getting Scripture into our marriage, getting Scripture into our family in a way that really starts changing us is hard. And so I love the fact that you've combined both your personal chaos that you grew up in, what was normal to you isn't what God intended. And then now to be at that point that you're able to share in really tangible ways to us that God can transform. Amazing message. So when you started this, I get the idea that you wanted to write a parent book before you wanted to write about marriage, but you waited. Why is it that you, as a pastor and a psychologist, were really eager to help parents, and especially right now? What made you write this book?
Well, as you voiced, I really could have written this book before Love and Respect, the marriage book, Love and Respect, that has been out since 2004. The illumination that came in 1999 about that also came in a related way to the parenting. But I wanted to wait on the parenting until my children were adults, and then that they could speak back into it. But I got my PhD in family-related studies at Michigan State University, where I pastored East Lansing, Michigan, where the Spartans football team and basketball team. And so it's a college town, 45,000 students, and I pastored there from 1980 to 1999. I studied the Bible 30 hours a week. The elders, many of them were professors, wanted me to get my PhD, so they encouraged me to do that. I did my dissertation on effective fathers. Hmm. So that was way back. And even the National Center for Fathering, Ken Canfield, who started that, he jokes that the book that he wrote, Seven Secrets of Effective Fathers, was really my dissertation. So that was on my heart. I even was going to leave Trinity Church and go into the fathering ministry, but the elders thought we could serve in that regard and still stay, and so it was an exciting period where we revisited the senior pastorate. But I wanted to wait until the kids were adults, and then they could address whatever. And so when I wrote Love and Respect in the Family a couple of years back, as I got into it, I wanted them to read each chapter and tell me what they thought, and to look at the good, look at the bad, look at the ugly. And a couple times I wanted to quit because, you know, what they remembered me doing, I didn't remember. And what I remembered I did poorly, they didn't find that a big deal at all. And so you suddenly realize, whoa, this is more painful. And so I really reflected on things. You know, being a teacher, I tend to over-instruct. You know, I'm that's my gift mix. And so we joke about the three-page treatises that I would give to them and so on and so forth. But the upshot is that they are the ones that endorse the book. No one else is endorsing it. It's my three adult kids. Jonathan's a clinical psychologist who works for me. He's my executive manager now. He's also got his own clinical practice. Joy has launched Love and Respect Now and has been doing that. Basically, he's been on staff for 8 years. And then David, my son, has his own videography company, and he's done many of our videos. So, you know, they were very supportive of us getting this message out. But to the point, I wanted to wait until my children were grown rather than, you know, having three little ones and I'm an expert on parenting.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because now it really is a family passion to realize that God can take what could have been an easily repeated pattern and really transform that generationally. And even for me reading the book, starting with that idea that the kids are involved and that they've been transparent through the process really made the book readable. So this is me being transparent. One of the crazy cycle times in our family is getting ready for church. you know, it, I don't know what happens. I mean, I've got two little girls, 1 6 and 1 7, and, you know, we have the praise music going on. We've had a nice breakfast. Next thing you know, everyone's in the car. We're quiet. We're sullen. Hurt feelings, anger, you name it. All these things are there. And all we're trying to do is to get to church. What just happened?
Well, that's unique, not to you, but the point about uniqueness is that there is, in most cases, no other situation where the whole family is headed one direction. I mean, it may be that dad takes them to the school or mom does, but in every area, we're not together as a family unit. Same thing with vacations. And so what parents need to understand is that there's a tension when everybody is headed in the same direction. And it's not a spiritual indictment. What's wrong with us? I mean, it could be an enemy attack. You know, there's no question about that. I mean, we're going to go worship Christ, so we have a schemer there. But I think sometimes we can over-spiritualize that. The fact is, we're trying to herd, you know, cats, and it's just a situation where mom, dad, and you got the kids, and then mom and dad, one tends to be more punctual than others, so one's more event-oriented, one's more time-oriented, and so she's not bothered getting to church late. He's out in the car waiting, and the kids, you know, I mean, it is a interesting dynamic, and one of the things that we just have to do is prepare. Sunday's coming, and it's going to be another moment, and it's a unique moment. There are no other times throughout the week that we're trying to do this, and this is what causes the kids to get excited. In some ways, it's rooted in their own excitement or the fact that they really, if they're excited to go to church, then they're just excited. Mom and dad are together. We're all together as a family. They're very unique moments, and they just get excited, and with that comes childish misbehavior, you know?
Well, and that's really interesting that you say that, because one of the things that struck me is that you really encourage parents to know the difference between when your kid is being disrespectful or when they're just being immature or childish. Walk me through that a little bit more, because that's hard to tell sometimes.
Well, the larger point that we make in the scripture, children are commanded to honor father and mother. Moses in Exodus 20, honor your father and mother. Jesus quotes that, telling the Israelites, you know, the commandment, honor your father and mother. Paul picks it up in Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother, and it's the only commandment of the 10 that has a promise with it, that you'll have long life. And so this is a major theme, and children are not commanded to love their parents. It doesn't mean that children can be unloving. It just means that God has put it within the heart of a child to really love their mommy and daddy, but they don't always show respect toward their mommy and daddy. They have a proclivity to be disrespectful when they feel unloved or they think they're being unloved. They pout disrespectfully. Parents, on the other hand, are not commanded to honor their children. Again, it doesn't mean they can dishonor them. It just means there's no command there. I looked at every verse dealing with parents and children, and it's not there. In fact, no parent is commanded to agape love their children either. And I thought to myself, well, what's going on here? And in many ways, this is God's gift to their children. God put it within the hearts of parents to love their children unconditionally with a godlike love. And that love is there, generally speaking. I mean, you got to be a very corrupt parent for that, and you got to go against your nature as a parent to drown your children in a bathtub, which a mother did many years back. So there are exceptions, those anomalies, but that's why it gets news, because it's just outside the scope of our understanding. But here's the deal. Even though I feel this love for my children that God put within me, my children don't always feel what I feel. They don't know. So the whole idea that the little girl is late for dinner, she's 11, she should be home at 5, she's not, it's now 5:30, it's 9:45, they've called her friend, they don't know where she is. The parents are now beginning to think, has she been kidnapped? Is she being raped? Is she going to be dead in a few minutes? Is she going to be found in some ditch somewhere? And they are panicking, and they're crying out, oh, God, we love our baby girl, please, oh, God. And just then she walks in the back door whistling. Well, what's our immediate reaction? Most explode in anger. Where have you been, right? So the love that we feel isn't always coming across to them. They don't know the depth of emotion. And so here's the larger point that I'm making. When a child feels unloved, that child naturally reacts in a way that feels disrespectful to the parent. And when the parent feels dishonored or disrespected, that parent tends to react in a way that feels unloving to the child, and thus is born the family crazy cycle. Without love, a child reacts without respect. Without respect, a parent reacts without love, and that baby spins. Mm-hmm. And your question here is, Well, does this mean that every time a child appears disrespectful that the child's feeling unloved? It could very well be, and this is where my dad missed it with me. I reacted. I picked up a butcher knife at age 11 and told my mom I was going to kill my dad. I had no intentions of doing that. It was false bravado. My mom was in the kitchen with me, and I was hurting about something. I don't remember what it is, but my mother freaked out, demanded I put the knife down. But obviously I was hurting, but that appeared very disrespectful. But I never intended to be disrespectful. I'm trying to get a message through. I'm hurting. I'm sad. I'm upset. And something's not right here. And that has to be decoded. But many times children appear disrespectful. The proverbial statement, you know, don't cry over spilt milk, you know, that we warn the child, the four-year-old, watch your elbow, don't spill the milk, and then they do. And then we think they did it purposely because they are disregarding our instruction, and when they disregard our instruction, they're being disrespectful, and that's a defiant behavior, and then we react negatively, and we end up coming across unloving on the heels of what we perceive to be their disregard and disrespect, and that's not it at all. I mean, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I reasoned as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became an adult, I did away with childish things. I mean, this is a novel idea. Children are childish. And so what we have to do as adults, and parenting is for adults only, that we as parents have to decode, is my child simply being childish? Yes, it feels disrespectful, but, you know, I've got to decode that. And some of it's just immaturity. I mean, if I take up offense because I tell my four-year-old to jump over a 10-foot wall and they don't, are they being disobedient? No, I'm expecting them to do something that God hasn't designed them to do, and that's my issue, not their issue. And that's why Paul said, don't provoke your children to anger in Ephesians 6. Why he said, don't exasperate your children so they lose heart in Colossians 3. Why? Parents were expecting their children to do things that those children couldn't do. They were immature. So you've got basic immaturity. You got to know their stage and age at some level, and none of us have to be perfect. God's designed this. You don't have to be educated in this. You can figure it out by just watching. But we're trying to parent in our spare time quite often, and as a result of that, you know, we're not doing what common sense would tell us to do. So we yell at our kids for yelling. No, that's really nice. We're bald-headed men selling hair restoration oil.
Well, and I think that's the power of it, is that moment, us as parents are so quick to react rather than respond. You talk about giving away the keys, and so that understanding of our kids and where they are developmentally, where they are as far as their emotional or their personality or their disposition, you know, that is such a key to understand that, because it's so easy for us to react. And so really, some of the idea that I hear is that we do have to reverse that crazy cycle, but part of that really does require the parent to step up, take a pause, like you said, be that parent, put away the childish ways. Given a parent that, I mean, what I find is I find that I react pretty quick, and a lot of the parents that I'm dealing with, you know, react. How do you teach parents? Any kind of advice on how to react, to respond rather than react?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the call to parenting. I mean, and this is a fundamental issue, and we all, I mean, I remember David, my middle son, went with me to a Christian camp. I was speaking probably on parenting. And, you know, something happened where he was being obstinate, and he was like 10. He was not going to respond to me. And I didn't have time for this, but I did have enough time to take him out in the car to, you know, somewhere private. He was in the back. I was in the front. And I just really, really tried to get to him, and he just stubbornly resisted, you know. And I remember emotionally just getting so angry with him. And, you know, and I realized as a parent, that's going to be ineffective. It's not going to work. It didn't work with my dad. That's why Paul said, parents, do not exasperate your children so they lose heart. Not only did I lose heart, my dad lost my heart. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea that I can explode in anger with a thought that that's going to motivate my children to respect me. I'm in charge. I'm sick and tired of you. And so I'm going to explode to control you. And also with the thought that this is going to instill in you a way of honoring me. You're going to be motivated to honor me. You're going to be motivated to respect me. And the truth is, the parent is making an utter fool. And as soon as that child can leave the home or be independent, they will be. There's no affection there. There's no response to us, because we're reacting to them. They're just going to react to us. Now, we can control them. There's no question. They're little people, so you can manhandle them, but you're going to, this is the whole issue. They're going to, you're going to close off their spirit. And once they close off their spirit and they close it off, you've lost their heart, which is what happened to my dad. I know Gary Smalley talks about his two boys when they were younger, and he was angry with them and he over disciplined them. And then he put them in bed because they had guests. And then he's beginning to feel guilty, you know, that he had done this. And so after the guests left, he goes back up to the bedroom and the boys are still awake in the bunk beds. And he reaches out to the one son and, you know, says, "I'm really sorry," but the boy's body was rigid. He could tell he was closing off his spirit, just closing off. He was rigid. And then Gary said, "I began to seek his forgiveness, just seeking his forgiveness. And I'm so sorry, Daddy, so sorry." And then, as I understand the story, the son, as his dad is just kind of expressing sorrow, and I'm apologizing, seeking forgiveness, the little boy's body kind of went soft. It kind of became limp. And then the little boy started patting the dad on the back. "It's okay, Daddy. We all make mistakes."
Wow. You know, and I've had those moments where I've had to really learn how to apologize with my daughters because I do lose it. Well, I am excited about this and excited about getting the word out. We'll continue to push people your way and look forward to partnering more in the future.
And we're doing a conference out there in New York. In February, Yorba, California. So make sure that on our website, unspec.com, they can attend our parenting conference.
Okay, perfect. I'll put that loveandrespect.com. All these resources will be in our short show notes and links to get so many things, from devotionals for couples to books to videos. There's a lot of content. The content that your daughter Joy puts out is hilarious. Quality is so good, and I enjoy that so much. And so just the points that she has out there and getting your whole family involved, we will continue to push people your direction.
Hey, thank you so much, Chuck.
We'll talk to you soon.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, I hope you enjoyed that interview. I certainly did. Now, you ready for the bad news? You might have guessed it by hearing the last little bit of that dialogue, is that we ended up having some sound difficulties, and so I wasn't able to get the whole thing recorded in a way for you to understand. So really disappointed about that. Not sure exactly what happened yet, but I'm assuming that it's something that I did on this end and amateur mistake that I hopefully will never make again. But in the meantime, there is a lot of really good information that I wasn't able to get recorded in a way that you can hear, but we're working right now to get that transcribed for you. It's something that we can get the gist of it as we listen to it over and over again, and so we're going to be bringing that to you. If you go to our blog area, which is today.thefamilyexperience.org, and look there, we'll be posting the transcript there as soon as we have it done. One of the good ways that we encourage people to get involved is to go out and sign up there so that you automatically get it to your inbox whenever we release a new podcast or new blog, or get that transcript up there. So really disappointed, but at the same time, we're doing the best we can with the amount of expertise that we have, and so hopefully you understand and will continue to connect with us. Hey, a couple things going on that I'm really excited about is our video contest for the family experiences going on. That's a real easy way that you can help us out. Most of us nonprofits, including Project Patch, can't afford to hire this huge team of people to go do advertisements and commercials for us. And so we're just really depending on your generosity. If you're willing, we'd really appreciate it if you could spend maybe record a 30-second to a minute-long commercial for our family experience. The best way to do that is just go there and peruse for a few minutes on our family experience website, which is thefamilyexperience.org. Go out there, take a look at what we have, and then get your cameras out. Just your iPhone works really well if you have one of those. Record. It doesn't have to be fancy. I recorded one with my daughters with puppets and had a blast. But just spend a little bit of time, record something, and then pop it up onto our Facebook page. The easiest way to get our Facebook page is to go onto facebook.com/projectpatch. And once you get there, you can like us and you can upload your video, and it'd do a huge favor for us in helping us get the word out. As a thank you, is we're going to select one of the videos, and that selection will be the winner of a free family experience for the entire family. And so that's fantastic gift. We've had a donor come through and make that possible for us to give that generosity out there. And so it's a great way to get involved. And so we encourage you to do that. Take some time to cruise around and see what we have there on the Facebook page. We'd love to have you as a friend there. A couple other things that we ask is, if you've enjoyed this podcast and the other ones we've been doing, the best way to support us there is to go onto iTunes, rate our podcast. That helps other people find it. And also, if you could subscribe there, it helps us get up there in the rankings. And I think it'll be a real easy way to get other people to like it. If you could share it also on your Facebook wall or on your social media that you have, that'd be a huge favor to us. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I'd like to thank Dr. Emerson Egerich and the team there at Love and Respect Ministries for doing all that they did to make this an easy and fun interview for us. And I'd really like to thank you for spending your time with us listening to this content. It's been encouraging for me to be a part of it, and I hope it's been encouraging for you too. I hope it results in you connecting with your family and making a difference. And we'd love to help at thefamilyexperience.org.